Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
15-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Pirates off today. They head to Detroit tomorrow where temperatures will be in the 80s, but cooler in time for first pitch as the Buccos and Tigers start a series for the prestigious Leland Cup. And that is your fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Malzy off today. Donnie off today. And both are all week, both on vacation. So it has been my task to react to the U.S. Open. And I've called the U.S. Open for what it was, which was a tournament that had an amazing putt at the end and a great Cinderella story in J.J. Spawn, but really was not a great tournament at all. And will go down as one of the most forgettable U.S. Opens of all time and probably the worst U.S. Open ever played at Oakmont among the 10. So we've gotten to that a little bit. People in Mount Lebanon were furious with me. Aaron Rodgers, I detailed some of the things Aaron Rodgers has done and some of the things that Steelers fans or Steelers media like myself were upset with Aaron Rodgers for doing. We thought he would sign for too much money. We thought he would make a spectacle of signing. We thought he wouldn't show up for minicamp. And he did none of those things. So I gave him some credit for that, and I asked people how they're feeling about Aaron Rodgers right now, if people are starting to come around on him. At 412-928-9370. We also, in the last 20 minutes now, have this brewing controversy with Harry Callis. Harry Callis's biggest moment as a broadcaster being used by NBC to welcome people into U.S. Open coverage alongside Michael Keaton. His voice coming from a fictional depiction of a steelworker going to work here, turning up the radio and hearing Harry Callis' early morning show, Callis' voice being heard by everyone who was watching the start of the U.S. Open yesterday. Well, now there's a rumor that NBC asked for audio from one of our shows, sent Callis an email about it, and instead of going and finding audio of other people, Callis just recorded himself saying 93.7 The Fan. So wanted to promote himself instead of going and getting Crowley or Doran or someone else saying the station's name. Can't wait to see how that gets resolved in the morning when everybody gets back to work. And Crowley has confirmed when he was a producer, he'd get emails all the time asking for audio, and he would go do it. He also mentioned the NFL thing, Dom, that you did with NFL Network and NBC and CBS and Fox. They wouldn't go and find it on their own. They'd ask you guys to go do the hard work for them. So it would make sense with everything going on with the tournament. Hey, 93.7 The Fan, you find me this clip to use. And Callis said no problem and just recorded himself.
And you know what? Our boss Craig said to us back there that he didn't receive word of this. So I think Callis got word himself.
Callis was the point person and took matters into his own hands.
Didn't tell anybody.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
See, if I did this, I'd be ridiculed by everybody.
Oh, yeah, because everyone already has you labeled as self-absorbed, narcissistic, and driven.
Right. Maybe we have to put those labels on Callis.
I agree. That was Tom Arth we heard on Will Howard. And how he met Will Howard when he went on a recruiting trip with his daughter to Ohio State. And seeing Will Howard spend an entire day at the Ohio State football facility excited Tom Arth because it showed him this guy has the work ethic to be great. Now, I did just say earlier this hour that there are some things about Aaron Rodgers that we criticized him for that didn't happen. So we need to at least be fair about things and say, hey, there was a rush to judgment on some things regarding Aaron Rodgers, and they were untrue, which is why Aaron Rodgers gets so hacked off with the media in the first place. Now, I've also said, though, that my preference would have been to see Mason Rudolph and Will Howard play quarterback this year, and I still believe that. And Will Howard, I've labeled the most hyped six-round pick in the history of the Steelers. Now, Greg Lloyd went on to have a borderline Hall of Fame career with the Steelers, Steelers Hall of Fame career, and Antonio Brown had an actual Hall of Fame career with the Steelers. But those guys weren't hyped like Will Howard. Will Howard was viewed by most draft experts as someone who could go between like the second round and the fourth round, and he fell all the way to the sixth. So he's kind of a poor man Shedeur Sanders in that way. Sanders dropped because he botched all his job interviews. Howard is the exact opposite. Howard fell, I think, because teams that needed quarterbacks already picked quarterbacks, and other teams that had quarterbacks didn't want to waste a pick on another quarterback. So I think that's why he fell all the way to the sixth round of the Steelers. The best thing he has going for him is the way he played at the end of the year. And he's got measurables that remind people of Josh Allen, even though he didn't play like a great quarterback until the games that mattered most. He was not good against Michigan when Ohio State lost to them. And he had the bonehead play against Oregon where he went into a slide in the middle of the field and didn't realize that, you know, the clock was an issue then and the clock ran out and Ohio State wasn't able to get another playoff. So he had two horrible games on the big stage in the regular season, but he totally redeemed himself in the playoffs. Now, the Steelers made one of their biggest mistakes in team history, taking a quarterback who won a national championship over the best quarterback of all time in 2000. They went with T. Martin from Tennessee, and they picked him ahead of Tom Brady. So that's an all-time example. There were six guys who got drafted at quarterback before Brady, and the Steelers were one of the teams that missed on him and took another quarterback instead. They got Ben a few years later, so all's forgiven. And, you know, the Patriots also passed on Brady a bunch of times. The point being, teams do get enamored with guys who win the big game and the national championship in college. So one of the things I did before today's show was I went back, and over the last 20 years, I asked myself, what became of guys who were national championship winning quarterbacks? Going back to Matt Leinart in 2004, what happened to these guys in their NFL careers? And it was fun to go back and just revisit some of these names like Vince Young, Cam Newton, JT Barrett, Deshaun Watson, Stetson Bennett won back-to-back national championships at Georgia. A.J. McCarron won back-to-back national championships at Alabama. And just looking at these names, in the last 20 years, 17, I didn't count this past season because those guys haven't played in the NFL yet. So I went back to 2004 through 2023 and not 2024. I didn't count Will Howard because he hasn't stepped foot on an NFL field yet. Of the 17 quarterbacks who won the national championship in college, going back to Matt Leinart in 2004 and ending with J.J. McCarthy from Michigan in 2023, from that list, 9 of the 17 have started playoff games. So that's better than 50-50. So if you just use recent history, and it's only one way of looking at it, but it's a rudimentary way of really saying this, there's a decent chance, there's a better chance than not, Will Howard not only plays, but will start a pretty big game at some point in his career. Tim Tebow played in two playoff games. He famously beat the Steelers. Vince Young started a playoff game. A.J. McCarron started the one against the Steelers in Cincinnati when Vontaze Burfict took Antonio Brown's head off. And you had the Joey Porter situation where he went on the field and got the Pac-Man Jones injury. That was not Andy Dalton. That was A.J. McCarron, who actually played pretty well in that game for the most part. Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick. He's actually never started a playoff game in his career. Jalen Hurts has started 9. Joe Burrow has already started 7. Cam Newton started 7. Now, those are guys that were picked at the top of the draft. I get that. Trevor Lawrence has started too. So the point is, like, usually, if you win a national championship, a team at some point says, let's at least see what this guy can do. And they've even turned to them in big spots. So I will confess again, as I've said several times here, that I am very curious about Will Howard. That's not the same thing as saying I have high hopes for him. That's not the same thing as saying I think he's going to be a great quarterback. I don't believe those two things to be true. But I am curious, and I'd be less curious if I had Joe Burrow as my team's quarterback or I had Jalen Hurts as my team's quarterback. But right now, at this very moment, I have a 41-year-old starting quarterback who went 5-12 last year, and the year before that got hurt on the fourth play of the season. And I've got the quarterback's coach saying flattering things about him. And I've even got Aaron Rodgers saying flattering things about him. So I'm intrigued by the guy. And I don't really... What I'm disappointed in is this. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to block a guy like Will Howard from playing this year. And then I think when the Steelers draft a quarterback at the top of next year's draft, it's going to block him again. And I thought if, let's say, Aaron Rodgers blew the Steelers off and Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback, if Mason Rudolph was struggling, he would get pulled for Will Howard and we'd get to see what Will Howard was all about. I mean, Mike Tomlin benched Mason Rudolph for a guy named Duck Hodges. So I think he would bench him for a guy who won a national championship at Ohio State last year. And that's one facet of this quarterback decision with Aaron Rodgers that does actually bum me out. I do want to see if there's anything there with Howard because he is a pretty good athlete. He's had 4 rushing touchdowns in college and more than 60 yards. He won at Kansas State, which is a good football program, not a great one. Was a Big 12 champ there. And then he won the ultimate championship at Ohio State last year. And I get it. You could say, well, he was surrounded by great players. Well, that was the mistake that people made with the last 2 LSU quarterbacks and C.J. Stroud, by the way, from Ohio State, too. The knock on Joe Burrow was look who he threw the ball to. The knock on Jaden Daniels was look who he threw the ball to. The knock on C.J. Stroud was look who he threw the ball to. So a lot of these young quarterbacks that have come out and have had great success in the NFL also were put in very advantageous situations or positions in college. So that's why I do like the prospect of seeing Will Howard play more than just the second halves of preseason games in August. I wanted to see what the guy looked like at some point in a real game this year, unless Mason Rudolph just set the world on fire this season. In which case, you've got a guy that's still, 29, 30, who can be your starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. 412-928-9370. Dom, I don't think I've ever asked you about Howard. Do you have him ranked in the top 60 quarterbacks in the NFL right now? Is he top 100 for you? You have Tom Brady still in your top 5. He's now been retired for a couple of years.
He's still in the top 5.
You have Arch Manning in your top 5, and he's only played 3 games in college. So you have a very peculiar ranking.
Arch is in the top
4 quarterbacks. Yeah.
I mean, I would say he's certainly top 100, probably top 60, but I mean, I can't really think about him right now.
Would you rank him ahead of Mason Rudolph?
Yes. I would, if you told me I get to choose who starts.
So if Aaron Rodgers had a similar injury to the one that ruined his career, his first season with the Jets, you would be tweeting drunk from your Syracuse house, dilapidated home that you're living in there, that they should go with Will Howard.
Yes, because
they should leapfrog and just say the hell with Mason Rudolph. We know what he is. Let's see what Will Howard can do.
Yeah, because I'm more intrigued by him than I am by Mason Rudolph. I think we know what
you have
Mason
no
is.
Intrigue in Rudolph whatsoever.
Not at all.
None.
Less than zero intrigue. Wow. Will Howard.
What a nasty thing to say by you.
What do you mean? What a nasty thing to say?
First, you said that Pompeiani had hit rock bottom. And now the next thing is that, Mason Rudolph, I have less than zero interest in him.
We've already
the guy who saved the Steelers season 2 years ago and had the highest passer rating in the NFL for those 3 games. You spit on that. You scoff at that and say, that's nothing. That's less than zero.
I'm not spitting on it. I'm saying
less than zero.
Because we've seen what he is, and I think he has a very low ceiling. Will Howard.
His ceiling when he last played was 3-0 and get them to the playoffs. That's a pretty good ceiling.
I'm more intrigued
for how well he played.
I'm more intrigued by the guy that just beat Texas and Notre Dame in playoff games to win the national championship at Ohio State. You can say what you want about the supporting cast, which was very good, but I am much more interested in what he could possibly do.
Dom, I will respect that opinion, but to make that point, you didn't have to say, I have less than zero interest in Mason Rudolph.
I do.
And I'm saying that that's a crazy take. That's all.
All right, great. Listen,
yes.
I don't even know what...
I said that's a nasty thing to say about Mason Rudolph, and I stand by that.
It's an opinion.
Yes, a nasty opinion.
It's an opinion that I'm not interested in him because I've seen him play before. How did he play last year, Pony? Were you intrigued by that?
Well, he played in Tennessee.
Were you intrigued by that?
I was not. But if I said, like, for example, you're ugly, that's an opinion.
Oh,
it's also
a nasty opinion.
That was a very nasty thing that you just said about Rudolph.
You calling someone ugly versus me calling someone not as intriguing as somebody
else. You said less than zero. Like, if you saw Mason Rudolph on the street, you wouldn't even wave and say hello. Like, he's beneath you is the way you made that
sound. You said, who would you rather see at quarterback, Will Howard or Mason Rudolph? And I'm telling you, Will Howard.
Yes, and I was fine with you saying Howard, but you didn't need to take a dump on Mason Rudolph to illustrate your point the way that you did.
I'm not taking a dump on him.
Oh, you absolutely took a dump, and it was after like Mexican food, and it didn't agree with your stomach. That's how awful that was.
I don't even know why we're talking about this, because you're taking a dump on a four-time MVP that is about to make his way and save this franchise.
He's 41 years old, Dom.
He didn't look 41 last year.
Yes, he did.
No,
he didn't. 5-12.
He had better numbers than C.J. Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. The list goes on and
on. No, he didn't. He just had more touchdown passes with those guys than those guys. That's not the same thing.
Is that a better number?
So that means Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
Sam Darnold won, what, 14 games last year?
So you do think Sam Darnold's better?
No, I'm saying that he's very good.
But I'm just saying, if you're using touchdowns to illustrate that he was better than those guys, well, then by the same measurement tool, you have to say that Darnold's better than Aaron Rodgers, and Baker Mayfield's way better because he had 41 touchdowns last year to his 28.
I'm using those numbers to say Aaron Rodgers isn't washed, and you're helping my point because Sam Darnold proved last year that he's not a bust like everybody thought.
Oh, yeah,
and Baker's not a bust like everyone thought.
He looked great in that playoff game. He looked like he was the cat's ass in that playoff game against the Rams.
He looked great for 17 games.
So if you want to be Mr. Regular Season guy now, where the playoffs mean nothing and it's all about what you do in September and October, if you want to die on that hill, Dom, by all means.
I'm not dying on
that
hill.
Go ahead. You just died a very quick, pain-free death on that hill.
Aren't you dying on the same hill with Mason Rudolph?
Dom! I didn't say, like, Mason Rudolph is great. I'm just quibbling with the fact that you said I have less than zero interest in watching the guy play.
And you're saying I'm wrong because of a three-game irrelevant stretch.
It was not irrelevant. It got them to the playoffs, and it was the best quarterbacking we've seen since Ben retired.
How'd he do in the playoffs?
He was not bad.
Oh, give me a break.
He was better than Sam Darnold, I can tell you that much.
You know, the amount of disrespect you are showing Aaron Rodgers is heartbreaking, to be honest.
This is not an Aaron Rodgers discussion. You're trying to move the goalposts now.
I'm not moving
goalposts.
Yes,
you are.
You're saying I'm disrespecting a mid-quarterback. You're disrespecting a future Hall of Famer.
Throw that name in there? No, I've said Aaron Rodgers will, when he gets here and suits up for the Steelers, will be the best quarterback to ever put on a Steelers uniform in a regular season game. Because it's true. He has a better career than Ben. He has a slightly better career than Terry Bradshaw. But he's not good anymore.
That's real nice, Pony. That's real nice.
I didn't say less than zero like you said about Mason Rudolph.
I'm talking about my intrigue in the guy.
412-928-9370. You have any interest in Will Howard? And do you want to agree with Dom that Mason Rudolph is basically a piece of trash?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm kind of blown away, just his energy. positive energy he brings, and then watching him move on the field, his suddenness for a guy that big to be able to get in and out of things as quick as he does. I've watched him from afar and been like, man, he's a darn good player. But seeing him up close and personal and getting to know him, really excited. We're excited to have him. He's kind of blown me away in every sense.
Fan Outline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's the Chargers offensive coordinator, former Ravens OC Greg Roman, on Najee Harris, how he's been blown away by Najee's athleticism and suddenness. Total hogwash. They drafted Hampton from North Carolina in the first round. He quickly will find out that Najee is 3 yards in a cloud of dust as a running back. The Steelers are in a better situation at running back now than they were last year because Jaylen Warren finally should get a shot. I think Jaylen Warren has a tremendous opportunity to be one of the NFL's better running backs. I think Caleb Johnson, we've put the cart before the horse with on him. I'm not as bullish or excited as many others are. Kabali said of Johnson this morning that he's a star in the making. Well, I also heard those things about Najee Harris, so I have to see it to believe it. And I think Najee is just as our queen of the fan PM team, Carolyn Clinton, once dubbed him. He's a plow horse. He gets you 1,000 yards, but it's not really, it's done more by volume. And it's not because of his impressive skills. Troy Aikman, during, I think it was the Steelers-Bengals game at the end of the year, they put up a graphic of all of Najee Harris's 1,000-yard seasons. And he said, is this supposed to like tell me he's a good running back? Because they're playing more games now. Look, availability is important. Jerome Bettis played a lot of games. That's why he's one of the five, you know, in the top five all-time in rushing yards. Emmitt Smith, that's why he's number one. Especially at that position, it's very demanding. So that's actually going to be the number one thing I give Najee credit for, his durability. And that's not nothing. It is something. But he is absolutely not a game-breaking player, and I don't think the Steelers will miss him whatsoever this year. There are situations where guys like George Pickens in Dallas, Justin Fields in New York, maybe even Kenny Pickett in Cleveland, where we have to figure out, like, what are those guys post-Steelers? And if some of them are good, it's going to make the Steelers look bad. I don't think Najee Harris is going to be one of those guys. 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. Donnie Football debrief later this hour. We now have some palace intrigue on what went on with Callis voicing that introduction to the U.S. Open, and rumors abound that he was supposed to get a clip of Crowley and Doran saying that, but instead recorded it on his own. And Callis has tweeted, haters going to hate, and the afternoon show will always have a conspiracy theory to peddle. Did not deny it in that post at all.
Well, that's
did not say it's untrue.
That's the key. If Pony, if you were saying this about me and it wasn't true, I'd come right out and say it's not true.
Yeah, I mean, it's potentially in 48 hours going to go from probably the best moment of Callis's professional life to one that's going to cause a major fraction in the way he gets along with the two hosts he produces.
Would you feel bad if this led to a fracture in the relationship in the morning?
Why would I feel bad about it? I didn't do it. I didn't go behind their back and record something.
That's true. You are bringing to light, though, the story. Nobody else is doing the work you're doing to find this out.
I'm not really doing a lot of work. I'm just, the rumor was brought to me, and I just wanted to see if you thought it was, if it had some legs. That's all. I mean, I don't think that that's like a horrible thing to do.
And Doran doesn't seem too thrilled about the idea that this could be true either.
Why would he say?
Well, didn't he tweet out that this is shameful if it's true?
Yeah, it would be shameful. And I think that their friendship is basically ruined, if true. Because Doran, you could hear it in his voice apparently this morning how disappointed he was that they picked Callis over him. I think he said something like, they picked the guy who's never swung a golf club in his entire life.
Yeah.
I guess by that logic, Mueller or Pom probably have the most grounds to be pissed. Or even Starkey, who's now obsessed with golf.
But like you said, they want the morning show because you wake up, put the fan on, and you hear right. Crowley and Doran 95%
right.
of the time.
So I guess of those three guys, Doran actually has the most right to be upset.
What if Donnie did this to you guys? How would you react?
If Donnie said that NBC asked for something, I'm going to record myself doing it and sending it to them. Do you mind? I would say no. I would say I'm comfortable with where I'm at in my career. this is something that gives you an opportunity to have your voice heard, and people will be like, oh my God, that's Donnie Football, I would say go for it. But if I find out he was a little bit dishonest about it and went behind my back, I would not be thrilled with it at all. No, right. That would be a major issue.
And nor should you. I think that'd be fair. Very disrespectful to the hosts.
Oh, big time. And also, if true, our boss Craig, that he would just make this decision unilaterally and not send it up the chain of command there.
Right.
So there's a lot of tentacles to this story, if true.
Right. I'm proud of you, to be honest, and you brought this to life.
And you know what's sad about it too is that it has the chance. If this is accurate, it went from being a great moment for the radio station as a whole. I mean, they could have picked any number of radio stations and radio voices, and they picked a fan, which is a testament to the listeners out there that have made our station so popular. That NBC thought to themselves, let's make sure we have the fan on to start the segment because we believe this is what the hardworking blue-collar Pittsburgher listens to. And Callis might have just totally ruined all that with his surreptitious, deceitful ways.
Pony, this is big, and I'm very pleased to announce that Callis is actually on the line and wants to defend himself.
He's on the line right now. Harry, are you there?
Ding, hello.
Hi. Well, what do you have to say for yourself right now?
Well, what do I have to say anything for? I thought I don't know if I'm being accused of what exactly?
I mean, do I have to spell it out for you here? You're communicating with your hosts about this, and we've been talking about it for the last half hour. So here you go again, playing dumb here, because I think that this is your way of trying to hide your guilt, is what it sounds like to me.
No. What exactly am I being accused?
Well, the rumor is that NBC reached out to somebody from the station, and it was you, because you're the morning show producer, to get audio of your host saying you're listening to 93.7 The Fan. And instead of going and getting that clip of them saying it, you either pulled a clip of yourself saying it or went and recorded it on your own and sent it to NBC.
Right, because the first email that comes up on anybody's 93.7 The Fan stuff is my email.
Well, Crowley and Dom have both confirmed that the producers, not the PDs, get those emails about when NBC asks for clips, let's say, for like their NFL broadcast. It very often
NBC
goes to producers. Yes,
that's never reached out to me in my time as the full-time producer of the Fan Morning Show, including anything to do with golf.
So they just randomly pulled a clip of you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, my theory was that I was the only one to actually say the station name, and nobody ever really says the station because everybody just assumes.
But you went above and beyond and said Pittsburgh Sports Talk Station. No one says that in real life.
Yeah, well, it sounded like I was sick from the clip that they put on, because I remember that was one of the first days that I came back on after my time off the air from my...
Your leave of absence.
For political reasons. That's
when you
right,
lost so. A vote because Starkey and his wife didn't vote that, they didn't exercise their civic duty, and you lost.
Yeah, I don't want to bring Starkey into this. I think, you know, he did what he did. It's fine.
Why?
Okay.
You brought people like Dom into your petty fight, so why am I not allowed to bring other host names into things here?
What did I bring Dom into a fight?
Well,
you're very silly, Pony. You're being very silly now.
No, I'm not. If this isn't silly, you go look at Doran and Crowley's tweets. They don't seem like this. They don't think this is funny, haha. They think that this
Crowley
is pretty serious.
I think I saw Doran's. Doran said if this was true, this would be bad, and I didn't know exactly what was true.
And Crowley said rumors abound that Harry was asked to send a Fan Morning Show clip to NBC, but instead sent audio of his show. We will get to the bottom of this.
So he's not playing games. I didn't see the one from Crowley, no. But he did ask me in a text message. He said, is this true? It's okay if it is, because it's hilarious. And I said, no, it's not true.
But Harry, how often do you say Pittsburgh's hometown sports station? Because that's very uncommon to say.
Is that Dom? Why is Dom asking questions?
Because Donnie is on vacation, so he's here.
No, I mean, like, why is he asking me questions at all? This dude's tweets, don't even get me started. Bonnie, I'm answering your questions.
Don't disrespect me like that. Answer the question.
Dom's offended.
You're not answering the question.
Pony, do you have any more questions?
So if I paid to have someone come in to put you through a lie detector test, someone that is a professional with a stenographer, you feel like you would be able to answer these questions 100%, that this was completely random, you were in the right place at the right time, you had no communication with NBC, they just completely pulled the Harry Callis clip out of their ass.
Yeah, that is true. And if you listen back to the early morning show, every morning, I don't always say the words Pittsburgh's hometown sports station, but I do say, good morning, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is The Fan Early Morning Show.
Because you are taking
every morning.
Because you are getting what you, if you did get this email and send this off to them, you are getting your 15 minutes of fame. You're calling yourself famous on Twitter. You're retweeting all the people who are like, oh my God, that's Harry Callis. So you've absolutely gotten a bump from this. So it
I was in the right. I was in the right place at the right time.
Okay,
that's what this is. My voice was in the right place at the right time.
Thank you, Harry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You buying it? I'm not for a single second.
First of all, his level of disrespect is astounding. And second of all, I'm not
buying it.
At first, I thought you were wrong and just trying to push a theory. I'm starting to think you're 100% right here. 100% right.
Because he doesn't, like, the way he started, he didn't even sound upset or angry about it. If I was being accused of this stuff, you know how pissed off I would be? I mean, this is complete BS.
Pony, that's
what
I'm saying.
How dare you do this to me?
Right.
Instead, he's like trying to, oh, what are you guys even talking about?
He's acting dumb and embracing it. And if it's not true, this is an outrageous thing to blame someone on. And I would deny it immediately. And he's not doing that.
This Hopewell High School star's decorated career included a Heisman Trophy, college national championship, Super Bowl title, and enshrinement in both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fames. Who is he?
Shady McCoy.
Incorrect.
Yeah. That's the guy that was, quote unquote, in the right place at the right time. Somebody who thought Shady McCoy played at Hopewell, went to Pitt, won a national championship, won a Heisman Trophy, and then won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
And so Callis is now pretty much saying that NBC went behind all our backs and just randomly pulled a clip without telling anyone.
Yeah. So he's actually getting NBC in trouble is what he just did.
Correct. Correct.
Wow. I'm telling, like I said a few minutes ago, this could have, the tentacles of this could be wide reaching. We're just getting to the, we're just scratching the surface here. Imagine if he gets, he's already had to take one leave of absence this year. What if he has to take another? I think Craig would suspend him for this if true, because he would have made a decision for the station without the boss's permission, and it ended up on NBC.
Right. Right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Donnie is in Delaware at the beach visiting his mom and dad. Well-deserved time off for one of the rising stars in the sports media business. And so right now, filling in, pinch hitting, is the very controversial intern Dom. The Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. How controversial is Dom? Well, when he was at Oakmont this weekend, people were coming up to him and saying things like, how dare you attack a legend like Bob Pompiani? How dare you say this was rock bottom for him and that he said something that was a career low point? Who are you? Since when are you Pittsburgh sports media's Siskel and Ebert, Dom? And yeah, so that's how you've made your name. That's how you've made a name for yourself. It's like Skip Bayless making a name for himself by just crapping on LeBron James every day on TV. So,
well, thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome.
It was very nice. So a couple of debriefs ago, you gave me crap and said it was horrible and it may be a career low for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I bounced back with my most recent debrief, and today I'm trying to fully return here, okay?
Okay.
Now, this is another creative, outside-the-box topic.
And this is what got you in trouble the last time.
by you. Other people enjoyed it, but you just weren't having a good day that day,
people,
I guess.
Other people, as Mueller pointed out, appeared to be made up figments of your imagination.
That's not true at all.
Who name one of these people?
People on Twitter.
Can you give a name to one of them?
I think one guy's name was Steve.
Steve what?
I'm not going to give the guy's
last. He was just at Steve on Twitter. At Steve said, hey, Dom, that was an amazing topic that you just brought up.
I can't give the guy's last name. People enjoyed it, but you were, I guess, having a bad day or were in a bad mood.
Well,
I don't know what was going on.
People didn't enjoy it. Donnie was like embarrassed that his name was even on the segment that you presented.
That is not true. Donnie was.
Yes, it is.
No,
ask
it's not.
About it.
No, it's
he
not.
He was texting you saying things like, this is terrible.
No, he disagreed with my opinion. But today I'm bouncing back.
Okay.
So the last time you and I were together, we were talking about Joe Buck and the great play-by-play announcers. So my question for you, and I'll give my opinion and then we'll hear from you, is who would you say is currently the best in-game analyst in football? Now, I would say...
Is this college and NFL or just NFL analysts in-game?
We can do football in general.
Okay.
So I would say pre-Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth was the best with Al Michaels. I think since he's gone
with
Tirico, it's fallen
off. Wait a minute.
Are
you saying like total team of broadcasters or just the analyst here? You're already throwing me off.
Analyst. The color commentator.
So Collinsworth was the best, you're saying. And now you don't feel that way?
With Al Michaels, I thought he was the best. I thought Tony Romo, his first couple years, may have been the greatest of all time. I think he's fallen off.
Okay.
Tom Brady, I think, could be the best in a couple years.
Off to a lousy start, though.
And Herb Street, I would say, overall, is probably the best football analyst. Mm-hmm. But in terms of NFL specifically, I think Aikman, since going to Monday Night Football, has clearly stepped ahead of the pack here.
So I think Aikman's had a glow-up. I think Aikman, because he was so ticked off at the amount of money Romo made, I think he's reinvented himself a little bit. And he's turned into the guy who is now more willing to criticize people and call people out for things. My favorite thing Aikman did all year was in that Chiefs-Texans playoff game that he did. He broke rank. He went against quarterback code and said, Mahomes is embellishing these plays. They aren't penalties. This is basically a bad look by him. And I love that he did that. So he went up in my book a lot last year, and I thought that was the cherry on top. So Aikman would be in the running for me. Herb Street's issue, I think, is just he's been overexposed. I think we're getting too much Herb Street. I think we're getting watered down Herb Street at this point. He's just been worn too thin between game day on Saturdays, then calling a game, then having to fly to do Thursday night football. It's just too much and too little time.
Completely agree.
So I think that's hurt him as an analyst. I drink the Greg Olsen Kool-Aid. I think if Greg Olsen were a bigger name, I think if he had a more distinguished career, he would probably be right now the best. And I also think that Collinsworth, because he played for the Bengals and for some stupid reason likes to occasionally take unnecessary shots at the Steelers, I think he gets on people's bad side. But I also think, generally speaking, when I'm not watching a game that involves the Steelers, I think he's very good. So I would probably go right now, Aikman 1. I'd go Aikman 1, Olsen 2, and Collinsworth 3.
So,
and I think Romo had a little bit of a comeback season last year.
I agree.
So he's now back in the conversation.
So I like most of what you said. I wrote this down, and I am not just saying this because you said it and I'm trying to be confrontational. I'll read exactly what I wrote here in my notes. Anyone who says Greg Olsen is one of the best doesn't know what they're talking about.
I knew you were going to do that.
You didn't know that.
Yes, I did.
I think
you love to swim against the stream, and you know that Greg Olsen, and I for a long time resisted it too. I didn't see what people were talking about with Olsen. I thought everybody just thought it was cool to say that Greg Olsen was good. But the more I've watched, the more I've listened, the more I've liked. He did that Steelers-Falcons game to kick off last year. I thought he was excellent in that game. So, yeah, I think that you think anybody that says he's one of the best doesn't know what they're talking about? So I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, then
Papiani's hit rock bottom. I now don't know what I'm talking about.
He's fine as an analyst, but the reason people love him so much is because they hate Tom Brady. They see him making $500 million, and they think he usurped Greg Olsen. Olsen gets demoted, and now everybody's like trying to stick it to the man.
And I agree with you on that. I do think that like disdain for the way that transition happened has affected the way that people analyze both broadcasters. But Brady just was not good last year. I know you're a Brady honk. You just cannot, as someone who is going to school for this, you can't objectively say Brady was really good at the job this past season.
He got much better. He started out rocky, but he got much better. And I thought he was just as interesting a broadcaster as Greg Olsen, if not more interesting.
Well, he's interesting in that it's Tom Brady making these points. So when Brady either praises someone or calls somebody out, it comes with the weight of the best player of all time saying these things.
And that means something.
Of course it does. Of course it does. That's why Michael Jordan just got hired by NBC, and that's why Wayne Gretzky is working the Stanley Cup Final. They're not great broadcasters. They're just people want to hear what they have to say about the sports they played.
He got much better, and I think Greg Olsen, like I said, he's a fine analyst. I don't find him entertaining. I don't find him interesting. He never says anything. Like, Herb Street says stuff where I'm like, oh, I never noticed that before. I don't find him interesting, no. He wasn't really a big name before he became a broadcaster. I get that he was a great tight end.
And either was Herb Street, and either was Joel Klatt, and either was a bunch of these guys who went on to have very good analyst careers.
But they're top-tier, all-time great analysts, and I don't think Greg Olsen is.
No, you're right. He isn't. But I think he's pretty damn good, man.
But you said he's the second best in football.
I think last year he made a big jump in my eyes, yes.
You're putting him ahead of Herb Street, ahead of Joel Klatt, who's a great pull by you.
I just explained why I put him ahead of Herb Street, and you agreed with me downgrading Herb Street. Now you're going to criticize my Herb Street take?
No, I downgrade Herb Street for the NFL. As an overall analyst, Herb Street blows Greg Olsen out of the water.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does. Herb Street does game day. He does
Okay, just because you have a lot of jobs, I know that means you're in demand, but that doesn't mean you're better at somebody else because of it.
You think Greg Olsen is more, and you would rather say, I want to hear what Greg Olsen says about this game than Kirk Herb Street.
If it's an NFL game, absolutely.
Football game, doesn't matter. It's a Whippio
football
game. Of course
it matters.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I'm saying overall football game, a Whippio football game. Whose opinion do you want more, Herb Street or Olsen? Who do you want calling the game?
I'd rather listen to Olsen right now.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No, now you're just saying that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm absolutely not just saying it. That was the Donnie Football Debrief.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.